Trump's vice president running mate has been announced, and the CFMEU defends allegations against it. Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News.
The chair announces that President Donald J. Trump, having received a majority of the votes entitled to be cast at the convention, has been selected as the Republican Party nominee for President of the United States.
That's U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson at the Republican National Convention in Wisconsin, formally confirming Mr. Trump as the 2024 presidential nominee. Ohio Senator J.D. Vance has also been announced as Mr. Trump's vice presidential running mate. Still on Trump, and a U.S. judge from Florida has dismissed one of Donald Trump's criminal cases hours before his party's convention got underway. The Trump-appointed judge, Eileen Cannon, ruled that the prosecutor who charged Trump with mishandling classified documents was unlawfully appointed to his role. The ex-president was accused of illegally keeping top-secret documents that he took from the White House in 2021 after losing the presidential election to Joe Biden. The head of the construction union has rejected claims its former Victorian secretary, John Setka, has shamed the national body despite allegations of criminal links with biker gangs. National boss Zach Smith says those who've been named with links to the underworld should be afforded the presumption of innocence. Mr. Smith praised the ex-union boss while talking to the ABC.
But one thing that no one will be able to take away from John is his legacy as an industrial leader, the conditions that he's won for workers here in Victoria, and the strength that he's built in the Victorian Tasmanian branch.
The CFMEU is also resisting calls to stand down its New South Wales boss, Darren Greenfield, who faces serious corruption charges. The Bureau of Meteorology is urging communities in the country's southeast to keep up to date with weather warnings as damaging winds and cold temperatures affect that part of the country.
The damaging winds across Victoria and Tasmania have eased overnight, but the Bureau still has a severe weather warning current for damaging winds exceeding 90 kilometres an hour. As of this morning, that does extend all the way from parts of the south coast of New South Wales up through the central tablelands, and that still does include the Illawarra, including places like Wollongong, Kiama and Nowra. We are expecting those winds to ease later this morning, but there is still a risk of seeing damaging winds of up to and exceeding 90 kilometres an hour.
That was senior meteorologist Jonathan Howe from the Bureau. Victorian SES received more than 300 calls for help overnight as damaging winds and rain hit the state, bringing down trees and causing floods. Rain is expected to continue in Victoria with Watch and Act warnings remaining in place. There are also severe weather warnings for damaging winds covering the Illawarra, South Coast, Central Tablelands and Southern Tablelands regions in New South Wales. And scientists have confirmed a cave on the moon, not far from where Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed 55 years ago, and suspect there are hundreds more that could house future astronauts. An Italian-led team reported yesterday that there is evidence of a sizable cave accessible from the deepest known pit on the moon. It's located at the Sea of Tranquility, 400 kilometres from Apollo 11's landing site. The pit, like the more than 200 others discovered on the moon, was created by the collapse of a lava tube. According to scientists, the radar data reveals only the initial part of the underground cavity. We'll have more coming up next.
Have you heard about the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme?
It's for mob who were taken from family and community when they were kids.
The Stolen Generations in the Northern Territory, the ACT or Jervis Bay.
It's acknowledgement and payment for survivors to help with healing.
You can apply right now or just find out more. Call 1-800-566-111.
Or visit territoriesredress.gov.au.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
The National Indigenous Radio Service.
The voices of our people.
The UN will start bringing in more armoured vehicles and personal protection equipment for its humanitarian aid operations in the Gaza Strip after getting approval from Israeli authorities. The approval comes in response to a UN letter sent to Israel last month on safety and security in Gaza. To sport now and in basketball, Team USA have beaten the Boomers 98-92 in a pre-Olympic game in Abu Dhabi. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you've missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Applications are now open for Ergon Energy Network's apprenticeship program. Work outdoors with your hands, helping to build and maintain the electricity grid of the future. You'll get paid while you learn, and when you finish, you're fully qualified. Jobs are available right across Queensland, in major regional centres and small country towns, and you can even earn more in remote locations. They're looking for more First Nations peoples to join the team, so hurry, apply now. Applications close 15th of July. Go to ergon.com.au/apprenticeships.
Station sponsor.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub? It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, it can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Apunipamai Clinic and Wellbeing Centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, Sandy Greenwood, performer and multi-award winning actor. And talk about the Griffin Theatre Company and Carriage Works present Alan Van Nieuwen's debut work for the stage called Swim. And we do have Sandy on the line. Sandy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm really good. Thank you. And it's lovely to yarn with you this morning.
You too, my dear. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
Yes, so I'm a Goombangi, Dungari and Bunjalung woman, mid-north coast of New South Wales, saltwater woman.
Yes.
And performing on Gadigal country at the moment.
Beautiful.
From all over the country.
All over the country. Beautiful footprint. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Thank you for being new, performing, multi-award winning actor. Life is great. Tell us about the debut work for the stage, Swim, please.
Extraordinary piece of theatre written by Ellen Van Nieuwen, Mulanjali Dutch person, who's an award-winning author, and it's their first play, and it's just exquisite. It's about gender fluidity. It's about, you know, the healing power of water. It's about healing trauma. It's all these incredible themes woven in the most exquisite kind of storytelling, poetic language, directed by Yorta Yorta woman Andrea James.
Fantastic.
So I feel it's a true gift, actually, to be performing this work.
Good, good, Sandy. And how many on stage?
Just two of us.
Two.
Danny Sib and myself, so which is quite unique, actually. It's a two-hander, which is a unique challenge.
Well, big shout-out to Danny, so thank you. Is it talking or just body movement? Is there a skit as such? Paint the picture, please.
Yeah, so it's a play, so
yes.
It's dialogue, and there's, you know, like that we play. Danny's like the lead character.
Okay.
Plays the character of E. And we follow their journey as a young queer person, young queer non-binary Murray person.
Mm.
And I play all the other peripheral characters in their life. I play their auntie, their very supportive auntie who, you know, teaches them about, you know, culture and connection and all the important things to stay strong as a young Murray person.
Mm.
Also play their young love interest. So I go from being 20 to 50, which is a good challenge.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, we as humans, we all sometimes have three or four different personalities, but here you are playing it on the stage, wearing five hats, spinning a lot of plates there, sister.
it's a play, but there's a lot of movement in it as well. So
good.
We've got Kirk Page. He's our movement director, incredible movement director.
Yes.
So we tell the story with our voices and our bodies.
Yeah,
as
fantastic.
As well as having incredible video design and music and lights. Like, it's a visually spectacular show and a very emotionally moving piece.
So debut work for Alan Van Nieuwenhuis. Got to be excited, Alan. Yes.
I just feel really honoured because you know, like, they are one of the leading authors in the country.
And sure.
She's one of our mob. And,
thank you. Represent.
They're one of our mob. Sorry, the non-binary author, and it's their debut play. So yeah, Griffin Theatre Company is producing it at Carriage Works. And we've got the big black opening night tonight. All the mob are coming for
Good.
Haydock Week. So
Good.
This is going to be the best night, I reckon.
Fantastic. And look, we are storytellers. And whatever vehicle we use, whether it be on stage, in a book, in a song, there it is. And it's so very important that we've got this as play work on stage and acting in it and telling the story. Mm-hmm. Sandy.
Yeah, it's really important. It's very healing, and it's, you know, that's the essence of our culture, is to tell our stories. And it's really important to have, you know, representation for young black queer mob as well, non-binary,
exactly.
gender
yes.
fluid. You know, we don't see these themes in the plays or films. So this is one of the first. So it will make, you know, people that can identify feel welcomed and safe and, you know, represented. So it's a very, very healing, important piece.
Sure. And it's a message, a guideline, a platform for people to, find out who they are, where they are, where they're going, what they're doing, you know. And sometimes it's hard to express it or talk to somebody about it. So it's a conversation to the individual sitting in the audience, you would say.
That's it. And I've been to plenty of pieces where, you know, plays or films, and it's like, that really speaks to me.
Yes.
And it's like, and it's empowering and healing, and it's just a different way to, as I said, feel represented or feel heard or, you know. So, a lot of our mob storytelling has a very powerful force, you know, impact.
Exactly.
And this is another one. So, yeah.
Well, Sandy, it's like picking up a book and you said, gee, that was a fantastic book. In actual fact, you didn't choose the book chose you.
Right.
Same
that's
way with the
you better pick that book up there, girl. You better read that one.
Too deadly, Sandy. Look, congratulations. Enjoy that journey. Perform well. As they say, break a leg. And we will yarn soon, my sister. And congratulations. And also to Alan Van Nieuwenhuis.
Thank you, my brothers. And so lovely yarning with you today. And hello to all the listeners out there. And too black, too deadly. Let's keep that fire burning strong.
Happy NAIDOC, my sister.
You too.
Bye bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Sandy Greenwood. Her name is performer and multi-award winning actor, and she will be performing with a debut work for stage called Swim, and that's by the Griffin Theatre Company and Carriage Work present Alan Van Nieuwenhuis' debut work for stage. Fantastic. Too deadly. Yarn up strong, your mob, here on National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob, too deadly. National Talk Black.
Never forget. to teach them, so they know now.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Black Swan, I am.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20, Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. So yarn up strong, you mob, on your daily program, National Talk Black. Now, Adavate forms alliance with Gadali, driving Indigenous capability in the IT space. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with David Gumley, Managing Director at Avate Australia. And beside the brother got Dustin McLung, and he's the CEO of Gadali Group. And gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Well, how are you?
I'm well, brother. Thank you. So, Dave, yes, David and Dustin. Start with you, Dustin. Who you mob were you from, brother?
Mob is Ngunnawal. We've my family heritage comes from the Ngunnawal area and then moved down to Gundagara country and down around sort of Tharawal, just outside of Sydney there, and spent a lot of time around that area and then went to university down in Eora in University of New South Wales.
Fantastic, brother. Thank you very much. Beautiful footprint. Big shout out to your mob. David Gumley, not First Nation man, but we claim you, brother. Come, welcome to the table and tell us your title there with Adavate Australia, brother.
Thank you, Trevor, and good morning, everyone. I am the Managing Director for Adaptivate Australia. Adaptivate. We are a global consulting and advisory firm that focuses on organisational transformation. We've got about 10 offices around the world and a couple of hundred consultants. But we're super excited, you know, about this alliance and partnership that we have with Dustin and the Gadali Group. Our organisation is really driven by helping leaders and organisations adapt to future work by changing mindsets and organisational culture. And you know, our partnership with Gadali is really focused on investing in human capital to build, you know, a national consulting firm that utilises First Nations people, elevates local talent to foster employment and ICT sector growth, while, you know, inspiring positive, you know, societal impact among Indigenous communities.
Fantastic. Brother Dustin, you've got to be excited about that. When we talk about our mob, our longest living culture on planet Earth, working with the vehicles of the future, we're talking IT, it's a great vehicle as such, a great joint venture, and the future looks good, I would think, Dustin.
Yeah, very much so, Trevor, and you've hit the nail on the head there. That's exactly where we're aiming for. It's partnering with subject matter experts like Adaptivate in this space and trying to leverage their knowledge in what they can do and bringing First Nations people up through mentorship and apprenticeship programs within the subject matter expert people to build, as David mentioned, this human capital investment, which we're looking at long term to try and make a really big impact on the ICT sector in this country.
Yep, no, fantastic. So tell us about going forward and how do mob engage? And when you look at Gadali Group, you know, look at that, Dustin, how you guys are at the table. How do we open this up for mob to be part? Are you taking this through like schools, university, TAFE, or how do we engage there? Help us there with that picture, please, David.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Trevor. So that really comes from, we've already started engagement with places like the Institute of Applied Technology in Sydney, looking at people that are coming through some of the courses there, and also they're keeping an eye out for any talent that they think would be appropriate for our business. We've also partnered up with Microsoft to have a great program with Queensland Government this time and Chris McLaren up there, where they're bringing through cohorts of First Nations people to bring them up to speed with the technical abilities to leverage these opportunities that we're able to find. So, and we're always on the lookout. We're approaching other TAFEs and educational departments We're also looking at what's in the sector at the moment, even people looking to change vocation as well, because I just know this isn't really a vocation of choice for mob. I mean, as of the ABS figures back in 2021, there was all of 5,000 ICT workers Australia-wide, First Nations. So, you know, even based on the 10% growth year on year, we're looking at a total of 7,000 at the moment. It's just, I think we're highly underrepresented, and where we can do a massive amount in this part of technology moving forward and really be a leader, not just nationwide, but globally.
Exactly. Well, the old phrase, you know, are you online or in line? You know, it's way the future, and to have a platform like so, fantastic. Dustin, tell us about the connection that you had with David or Aptivate Australia, how that all came about, and paint that picture, please, Dustin.
Yeah, so, I mean, the entire company came about recently. It has been a bit of a passion project of mine for some time. I came out of a corporate position and was looking at the next thing to do and hit that stage in my life. I really want to make a difference, and it has to be something that I'm doing that's going to be a benefit for everyone tomorrow. I've got some young kids. I want the world tomorrow to be better than today.
Yes.
So we've been trying to focus on ways to do that. I was able to catch up with a old university friend, Douglas Ross, who is actually one of the founders of Adaptivate.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced me around, and hence my introduction with David as well. And we've been working on solutions ever since.
Good.
It's been a really interesting path that we've been able to travel down. And because of everyone's sort of hitting this stage in their life where they do want to make that difference, I've just found a whole lot of people which have a very similar mindset. It feels like it's the right time to be doing this.
Yes.
And we're getting a lot of take up, a lot of acceptance from the broader community, in government, in corporate, educational spaces, right across the field. So our model is quite novel in the scheme of things, as far as we are, one of our primary purposes is really getting, like we said, bolstering that ICT sector.
Mm.
So we will get people in by hook or by crook, as best way that we can, into this sector, and make this so that we're utilising our local talent more than anything going overseas at this point.
Exactly. Well, we're talking about the future, and we're talking about our culture. And I've always said, you know, Dustin, we are wealthy being black. We just got to get our feet in the game, you know, or get our fingers on the keyboard, so to speak, you know, and the future looks bright, and carrying our culture with us, a powerful vehicle, needing the tools and the vehicles to drive us through, there it is. So it is the way of the future, and we're at the table. I think it's a fantastic joint venture, and the future does look bright, gentlemen.
Yeah, completely. I think the looking at some of the top jobs, there's been some reports out. Specifically, Deloitte did a great report just last year, which really highlighted the top five skills that are really needed for technology moving forward, and they're all communication skills. And considering our culture, and that everything is really passed down from oral skills as far as discussions and stories, and song and dance, we're very, very good at that.
Exactly.
I think that's something that we really need to leverage and take forward into this AI future that we're coming up against.
Yes. And when you look at the next 6 months, the next 12 months, I mean, there's industries that haven't even been thought of, haven't been invented yet, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it's just really cool. In a fast, ever-changing world, and change is inevitable, but change is the engine of growth, and we need to be at the table. And, blessed are the flexible, is what I'd say. But thank you very much for joining, gentlemen. Please do keep in touch, and a great joint venture. How do people find you guys? How do they reach out? How do they contact you guys? We're talking IT, so tell us how we email you, text you. Tell us how we get in touch with you guys.
Best contact would be to go to the website, which is GadaliGroup.com. On there's a contact page, and there's other contact forms on there as well. You can get us through socials, LinkedIn, Facebook, all of the standard processes and channels that are associated there. Very much looking for where First Nations people that are keen to move into this sector, and also any customers that are very interested in engaging with a Indigenous company for their needs as well.
Just a thought, Dustin, can First Nation people who are already in a business opportunities, can they come to the table?
Absolutely. Good. This is really about building a strong ecosystem for First Nations people and First Nations businesses. We're not out there. We do believe there's enough work out there for everybody.
Yes.
So let's just leverage everything that we have and make a really great ecosystem for everyone.
Well, the old saying, it's all crowded at the bottom of the ladder, you know? And so it's come to the table. Fantastic. David, good yarning with you. Thank you. And Dustin, all the best. Please keep in touch. And we'll yarn soon. And happy NAIDOC, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Thank you.
Great night,
Take care.
Bye-bye.
A beautiful yarn, and there it is. David Gumley, his name is, Managing Director, Aptivate Australia, and also joined in with the Gadigal Group, and the CEO there of Gadali Group, that is, Dustin McClung, his name is, to Delhi, fired up brother and IT man. So there it is. It is the way of the future. Change with the times. Go left behind you, mob. Have your say, yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And Yana with the Bullion here, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry, live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. National Talk Black, Yana.
Oh, well, let's get this in one.
Oh, we get a spot on.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gather round people, I tell your story, an 8-year long story, power and pride, British Lord Festy, Vincent Lingari, were opposite men on opposite sides.
Festy was fat with money and muscle, beef was his business. Broad was his door. Vincent was lean, spoke very little. He had no bank balance. Hard dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Gurindji were working nothing but rations. Once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily depression got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand.
They picked up their swags, started off walking at Wadi Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Vesty man said, I'd double your wages. $7 a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages. We're sitting right here till we get our land.
Vesty man roared, Vesty man thundered. You don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Vincent, if we fall, others arising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingari, he boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life.
Vincent sat down with epic politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out. Why are people hungry? Vincent said, no thanks. We know how to wait.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Then Vincent Lingyari returned in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. He told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns.
Eight years went by, eight long years of waiting, to one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. And he came with lawyers, came with great ceremony, through Vincent's fingers, poured a handful of sand.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. That was the story of Vincent Lingyari. This is the story of something much more. Our power and privilege cannot move a people who know where they stand, and they stand in their law. From little things, big things grow. 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 From little things, big things grow.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wuchopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM. BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Okay, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Brother, Jai Murray. And he's a man who's involved in the Indigenous Marathon Project, IMP squad for 2024. And talk about running marathons. He's just kicking a lot of goals, this Deadly Brother. And we've got Jai on the line. Jai, good morning. How are you?
How you going, Trevor? So you're doing my rung to your brother. That's how are you in my people's language, the Wiradjuri language. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, too deadly, my brother. Look, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, Jai.
Yeah, I'm a proud Wiradjuri Ngangbar man, so my mob are from Cowra, which is on Wiradjuri country, and also the Breewar and the Byrock area, which is sort of on, that's Ngangbar country, that's central northern New South Wales.
Too deadly, beautiful footprint. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, congratulations, brother. You're involved with the Indigenous Marathon Project squad for 2024. Before we get into that, just tell us a bit of background, the work that you do, your profession, what have you, and then how you got roped up into being part of the IMP, brother.
Yeah, so thanks for asking. It's a deadly story, one I'm really proud of. And I'm really proud to be a part of. Yes. The Indigenous Marathon Project, like we said before, they've been doing some really important work, and to be a part of that is something I'm really grateful for. But I've got a background in health. So I'm a practicing physiotherapist. I've got a degree in physiotherapy, and I mainly work in sports and exercise-based rehab, a lot of gym-based rehab and getting people back to the sports they want to play. But I've always sort of grown up with a real interest and a real passion in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health. I've got some family members that are doing deadly work in that space, and I've always been aware of the injustices our people suffer the healthcare system and the health outcomes that we've got, and how they're not where they should be. And I've always really wanted to, I've had this passion in me to try and do something for our people to live happier, healthier and longer lives so they can be there for their mob, for their community, and just continue to ensure that the world's oldest culture will continue to thrive and endure. So through that, I've started a social media page called The Koori Physio. Yes. Basically, The Koori Physio has two main purposes. One, it wants to educate our mob and inspire our mob to live healthier lives that's in line with our traditional way of life. And the other side is that is recognising that we can't do it alone, and we need to educate non-Indigenous people, particularly non-Indigenous healthcare workers, about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health issues and the unique needs that we need in that space to thrive and work towards better health outcomes. And all of that sort of, what I've been doing, my path in life has sort of headed down that route. I've now have a job off the back of that social media page where I teach at Newcastle University in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health space. So I'm a lecturer and a tutor in Indigenous health, which I'm really passionate about.
How deadly are you, bro, brother? How deadly are you?
Thanks, brother. Thank you. Trying to stay busy, you know.
Good.
But yeah, I got involved in the Indigenous Marathon project actually a couple of years ago in a physio capacity. The then head coach at the time ended up on my bed at my practice as a patient of mine, and we got yarning about it, and I hadn't heard about it until then, and he said, "Oh, do you want to come and get involved and help us out with a few physio things because of COVID? Their physio couldn't get down."
Sure.
And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely, that would be deadly." And then went and watched them run their marathon, brother, and it was
got fired up. Really got fired up. Give me running shoes.
lit the fire in the belly. It did for sure. Like I saw the emotional and mental challenges that those runners had to go through, and the way that they overcome it really spoke to me. No, you can't talk about blackfellas without talking about resilience. You know, that's what our culture and our people are built on, and they definitely showed that when they did that marathon. So ever since then, I was like, righto, I'm going to apply, and the timing just wasn't right the last couple of years, but this year it was. So I applied this year and was lucky enough to get picked, brother. And it's been a journey of a lifetime so far. We've currently done done two training blocks and two training camps and two runs.
Yes.
And basically we do another two, one's in Adelaide, one's out in Alice on country out there, and then we go to New York to run the marathon in November. So training hard, bros.
Too deadly, brother. Now, the Indigenous Marathon Project, all under the watchful eye of Robert Di Casello, is that correct?
That's right. We call him Uncle Rob.
Uncle Rob.
He's the director of the Indigenous Marathon Foundation, and the Indigenous Marathon Project is the big sort of one of the big components of that. It started originally 15 years ago, so this is the 15th year this year, and they've just been doing deadly work inspiring mob to live happier, healthier lives, really. So the goals and the values of the Indigenous Marathon Project and the foundation really align with the stuff I'm trying to do with the Koori Physio. So yeah, like I said, just really grateful to be a part of it. And Uncle Rob is a really powerful man, and you know he's not Indigenous. He doesn't have a Indigenous background, but he's really passionate about the health and the well-being of our people. And to see a non-Indigenous fella have so much love and care and kindness towards our people, and really just wanting the best for us, it's quite inspiring to see. It gives you a lot of hope for the country and moving forward, you know.
Well, exactly. Looking at some of the so-called students or runners under him up here in Cairns. We just had the Cairns Marathon. Big shout-out to Nadine Hunt. She was part of that. Nathan Schreiber, too, deadly brother. And also we had a whole heap of our guys running. Uncle Timmy David, that's Nadine's uncle. And, seeing a lot of black people run, and we need to close the gap, and we need to do our bit as well, you know. And young ones are looking at our black people running. It entices them, you know what I mean? And we've got the solution to our problems, haven't we, Joy?
Yeah, that's right, brother, that's right. And when you think about running, you know, particularly long-distance running across land, that's in our genes, you know. That's what our old people used to do to land and to, you know, connect culturally to the country and all that sort of stuff. Was running a way that you can directly tap into the way of our ancestors. So I talk a lot about working towards healthier lives through cultural domains of health and well-being, and connecting the country and connecting the culture is really powerful for health and well-being for our people. And I believe running's a really, really great way to tap directly into that. So, it's great to see more and more mob getting out and trying to take the right steps to a healthier life. And it's not easy because we've been put in a position, and there's a lot of complex factors that have led us to the path of where we do experience health on a lesser or at a disadvantage to everyone else. So it's not an easy thing to do. So to see everyone getting out there and trying to take responsibility and put themselves in a healthier path is really inspiring. So it's, you know, it sometimes gets hard to get up in the cold Canberra morning to go for runs and train, but when you've got that that inspiration there from the rest of your culture and your mob, it gets pretty easy. So
well, they've always said, Joy, that happiness and success is just a decision away. So we just need to make the small decisions as we go along. I mean, when you look at you as a physio professional, but then you're the marathon runner and a black man at that, you know what I mean? Best of both worlds, but beginning's half done. But everything that we want in life is outside our comfort zone, is it not?
That is so true. That is very, very true. And
don't get me wrong, I'm not a runner by any means. Like, I've got a background in rugby league like yourself, brother. Mm. So all the long distance running I've ever done is the pre-season, you know, when they run
thank
the
you. That's
out
what,
of you, getting
yeah,
ready for the right, season.
Yeah. They slap you around pre-season, yeah.
They do, yeah. You've been down, a little bit down in Sydney, did you say? You played down there, Penrith?
I tried with Phil Gould with Penrith, yeah, back in the day. Yeah. That's right, yes.
So you know a little bit about getting out of your comfort zone. Yeah,
big
training,
time.
Eh?
Well, 48 hours in a bus from Cairns to get down there and trial, and then they signed me up for pre-season. So outside your comfort zone, 48 hours in the bus. I felt like a bus when I got there.
That's true, yeah. No, but getting out and do those long runs is uncomfortable, but it gives you a really, when you finish, you feel really great, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, culturally, yes. You feel really powerful. And that's exactly what you're saying. You've got to get out and put yourselves in those uncomfortable situation because that's where you grow, you know, and we always want to be working towards growth and, yeah.
So we've got the New York City Marathon later on in the year, so you're now training for that, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So how the program works is there's a six-week training block and then there'll be a week intensive camp and then there's a race and then that works. I think we do four of those or five of those throughout the year and it works up to the New York Marathon, so we were just up in the Gold Coast 2 weeks ago, or last weekend, for the Gold Coast Half Marathon. So we trained, went for a camp, and then ran in that. And then we've got another one in Adelaide in about 5 weeks, and another one out in Alice in September, and then over to New York. So, yeah, training pretty hard for that at the moment.
So for 2024, in New York City, Mob have missed out on the run for 2024, is that right?
Pardon?
The people have missed out on that run to apply to be a part of that for this year.
Yeah, so that's, you apply at the start of the year.
Okay,
The start of the year. It's like an online application process that you do through the Indigenous Marathon Foundation website. And then from there, they run trials all throughout the country. So you go to where, like they would have had one up in Cairns. You go there, you run a 3K time trial, you do an interview. Based on how you go, then they'll select the squad. And the squad got announced in April, and then we started training in about the very start of May, I think it might have been, or could have been back end of April. So,
and how many in the squad there, John?
There's 12. So 12, they pick six men, six women.
Good.
And I think this year there was around 180 or 200 applicants or something like that. And so they narrow it down. Yeah. But if anyone's interested in it, it is a life-changing experience. Sure. You know, the running is really important, but all the other stuff you get out of it as well. So it's more of they're trying to identify leaders in the community, Indigenous leaders in the community, so that, you know, they want the right people there to inspire Mob to live healthier lives. And if you think that's something for you, then, around the end of the year or early next year, start looking into applying for it. I can't speak highly enough for it. It's going to be life-changing, already life-changing experience for me, and I'm really keen to see where it gets me as a person, you know, within my community. Hopefully it gives me things that I can use to propel my community and my mob forward. So,
deadly, brother, too deadly. And for the people who missed out this year, they can reapply next year, can't they?
Absolutely. So you can apply. Basically, you just got to be between, I think it's 18 and 30 years old.
Yep.
And you can apply as many times as you want. So there's a couple of people in the squad this year that have applied multiple times.
Yes.
There's a few fellas in the past that have applied, you know, up to six, seven times.
Whoa.
So you can apply as many times as you want. And if you, you know, show the dedication and that to it and you keep applying and keep applying, then you're going to get in at some point. So
too deadly. Hey, beautiful talking with you, Joy. Thank you for sharing, my brother. Look, enjoy the journey. Enjoy the training. Please keep in touch. And big shout out to Mob down there. Stay warm, brother, and we'll yarn soon.
Sounds good, Trev. Thanks for having me on, brother. Yeah, well, you stay in those footy shorts up there, cuz.
That's right, warm here.
Yeah.
Take care,
thanks for having me
see
on,
bro.
Brother.
See you. A beautiful yarn there. Joy Murray, his name is, and Woodry and Gimma man, and he's involved in Indigenous Marathon Project, and he's a professional in regarding, he's a physio. So there it is. Went there to help the guys train and regarding, well, physio stuff, and didn't know about the IMP, Indigenous Marathon Project, and look, got involved. He started running, and next minute he's in the squad. So there it is. So wearing two hats and two deadly. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, yarning up strong here. On National Talk Back, your host is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindindji Country as BBM Bumblebip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you say yarn up strong, National Talk Black.
the little bloke was going to get started to get building. If something doesn't come out of it, they're going to start getting flogged. And they won't come back. Because personally, myself, we'll take them out, scrub, and leave them there.
Wouldn't that be called lynching?
I don't wish you what it's called. It'll save us from going from them, and I'm over it.
You want division, huh? Okay, listen, my people making up 28% of these prisons. We make up 3% here in this population, while the other 97% under the ground missing. Wanna talk about it? Let's talk about it. We got coppers killing mob and walking around and proud about it. Wonder why we're loud about it. Been silenced too long and I'm sick of being angry. My people sick of being too strong. Sick of mama locked up. All over petty crimes, white men gets let off and the black fellas use a life. You got our kids messed up, ripping apart our family ties. Look at the statistics on abuse, our institution lies. I'm sick of getting painted as a drunk. I'd rock up to your pubs and I don't even have a drink, but it's full of lip-off gums. I'm sick of white tears claiming they don't get no love, but when you look at the history, they've always hated us. You've created division, this is white man made. Truckers go in the community and make the black girls slaves. Get them hooked on meth, then the white man rapes. And points a finger at the father, so the black man's blame. This the truth, they get back up, it ain't even mentioned. You bring that poison to the people, anti-intervention. Let's teach them a lesson. They'd be nothing without us. We stole inventions and claimed them. Our deaf as people gave data, so just created a stick. But you poisoned our waters, you went in danger. My species, most my ancestors were slaughtered. Then they created borders, while they wiped out our knowledge. Stop our language off my mother's tongue. To die, if that means my culture thrives without me alive, I'd do anything to have a little peace. But before I was born, they already hated me. So the fuck I gotta be? Angel puppet on a string? God save the fuck, I'll queen off your hand for my own thing. You must gotta be thick if you think it's all a game. I got my old people here without a name upon their graves. Best believe it's about to change. They had us all stuck in a box. Now we're breaking down the barriers for the ones we have lost. I'm coming for that stolen wealth, and my voice paid the cost. The tables are turned, so now you call me Mrs. Boss. Mr. Bossman, think you can't close my eyes? I'll be that loud black tip, but you flick off the spies. I'll be that angry black sister with a fire inside. That light suffice, and make sure that my young kids survive. You can call it what you want, but I'ma call it how it is. The rest of the world can see that Australia's racist. My page is full of pages commenting without faces. And when they show their faces, they're usually issue face. Have another one, Shazza. Pour it up, put that bottle to your head and you can go and get fucked. Think you're better, doesn't matter, you're the neighborhood drunk. It gets fucked up on babies and shames at your son's park. 65,000 nickel years, now we ain't done yet. I don't want your table, I'll fuck your table and its weak legs. I'll fuck your constitution, you can keep it for them rednecks. And every time you look at us, I hope it makes you flick off sweat.